Amen. We are going to come back into a space of worship later. But I'm going to invite Chris Whitwell up. For those of you who don't know Chris is a member of our senior leadership team here at Christchurch. And we love him. We love him and Hales and their two girls and the vision that they provide and the word they're going to bring this morning. So I'm going to pray over Chris. Father God, I thank you for Chris. I thank you for the word you have given him. And I pray that you would speak through him to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sorry. I didn't mean to walk past you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. My name's Chris, and we're coming up on 10 years being here. We're 10 years in August, and it's a great privilege to be able to share with you again this morning. I was sharing last week, and we'll come back to that in a minute. I'm married to Helena, who's just here, and Rafi, who's sat next to her, and Jessica, who's downstairs in kids groups. We were sat around the table last night having dinner, and it's a lovely family scene, you know, lovely. And Helena, we were talking about what we're going to do today. Helena's got a grandmother who's 90 today, and so we're going to go over to Bath later and see her. And we were talking about coming to church as well, and Helena said, oh, I'm going to come to church this morning, partly to just support me and be with me and all that kind of stuff, and because I was speaking. And then one of my children, who shall rename nameless but not anonymous, decided to contribute to the conversation. She said, last time I heard Daddy speak, he wasn't that inspiring. Which was just last week. So I was encouraged by the honesty, but discouraged by the lack of encouragement. I don't know, parents, I don't know if you're also struggling with that balance in your home between honesty and encouragement. I know that sometimes it's something that we face. But it's great to be with you this morning, and we're gonna touch base on some things that we talked about last week, and we're gonna move the conversation forward. But before we do that, why don't you just turn to someone next to you, welcome them to church, say good morning to them, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes when I'm ready to speak. So say hi to someone next to you. Okay, let's bring it back together. Please feel free to continue those conversations later on. So last week, if you were here, I was speaking out of Colossians chapter 1. And this week, we're going to move on in our conversation around what was going on in Colossians. And I was speaking last week, I'm speaking this week, and I've got I'm back again in 2 weeks' time. And so I'm seeing this as sort of three parts just to I get essentially just talk about the same sort of thing, but over a period of a few weeks. And last week we talked about walking the walk. We talked about this idea out of Colossians that God is inviting us by his grace to walk towards this place where we walk out a life that is worthy of him and where we please him in every way. That's the invitation of God as disciples, as followers of Jesus, that we get to walk out a life that is worthy of God and please him in every way. And that there is an idea that we played with, which was that sometimes in our faith, and this might be true of general life as well, but we can talk in such a way or think in such a way where we actually convince ourselves that we believe something, but when faced with that reality in the way that we walk out our lives, we discover that maybe we didn't believe it as much as we thought we did. So you might say that I believe in the examples we used. I might believe in financial generosity, but I'm not going to give that much because I've always got a cap on what I would give. Or I believe in forgiveness, but I'm not ever going to forgive that person because that would be too hard. Or I believe in that overwhelming nature of God's grace, but I just can't forgive myself for that thing that I did yesterday. The way that we walk out our lives tells us often more about what we actually believe than what comes out of our mouths. And so walking the walk is the invitation to us given in Colossians chapter 1. And at one point this week in my preparation, and just to say I've been kind of battling all week to find a way to land this talk this morning, and it's one of those times where we're just going to wait and see, I think, as we go. We'll see how we go. But as I was preparing, I was thinking, well, maybe it would be really good to talk about maybe strategies about how we deal with the people-pleasing parts of our characters, because for lots of us, I'm sure we struggle with pleasing God over people. Sometimes it's easier to want to please people. But of course, in our passage in Colossians, it's more about pleasing God. And so the focus is on pleasing God. And so I wanted more to talk about the foundation that was given already by Paul in Colossians that enables us to please God over people. And the verses in Colossians say this, that we continually ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That's in Colossians 1. We pray that you would be continuously filled with the knowledge of the will of God through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The foundation to be able to walk out a life that's worthy of God and please him in every way is to be continually filled with the knowledge of God's will, which is given through the wisdom and the understanding of the Spirit. And so today we're going to focus on the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of the Spirit. That's going to be our centerpiece for today, the wisdom of God. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to talk about the power of God. Okay? We're going to talk about the power of God. So today is about the wisdom of God, and 2 weeks' time is going to be the power of God. Remember, as we get going this morning, that our covering, our umbrella over us this morning from Colossians 1, so that we may walk out a life that is worthy of God and please him in every way. And I'm sure there are a whole host of people in the room this morning for whom you would really desire to live that kind of life with the Lord. So today, our aim is to move towards a place where we can invite the Spirit of God to break down in us those areas of self-sufficiency and independence, where we can move towards a greater dependency on God, and where our faith, and this is important, both individually and collectively, and we'll get to that later, both individually and collectively, might not rest on human wisdom, but it might rest on the power of God. Because, friends, it's really easy, actually, for our lives of faith to rest on human wisdom over the power of God. Really easy. And you might be experiencing that in your own faith. So today, our session is called Walking in Wisdom. We're going to be based out of 1 Corinthians, so if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to get it out, switch on your phone, whatever you want to do. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to go from verse 18, okay? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And here we see just this interesting interplay between the wisdom of God and the power of God. Okay? Verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that, there's another so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. There are two "for as it is written" statements, and Paul's quoting two bits from the Old Testament here in this passage. And we're going to use these two bits of Old Testament scriptures to help us out as we go this morning. And so in a minute, we're going to jump into somewhere else. But I guess just speaking vulnerably this morning, I guess one of my fears or concerns, I don't know how to phrase that better. One of my fears and great fears and concerns, I guess, is that the church, the bride of Christ, we feel like we don't talk enough about the bride. The church is the bride, this beautiful thing that is being prepared for Jesus to come back. The bride of Christ. Therefore, you and I have this great fear that we look less and less distinctive in our world. Just that we look less and less different. And I'm worried about this because I feel like, are we not as believers often as busy and as stressed and as anxious and as angry and as financially constrained and as ... you fill in the blanks, as anyone else around us actually is, as materialistic maybe. And therefore, I think I have a deeper fear, which is in there. And I think my deeper fear is that the bride of Christ, this beautiful thing that is being prepared for the return of Jesus, that the bride of Christ is slowly and surely succumbing to the wisdom of the world over the power of God. That's one of the fears that I have. And that maybe for us, as you know, we are the bride of Christ here, you right sitting where you are, part of the bride. And maybe part of our issue with really walking out a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way is connected to the reality that so often our faith environments, and I don't just mean church corporately gathered together, but all over the place, that our faith environments are often lacking the wisdom and the power of God, and that we've just become used to it. It's just sort of, we're used to it. And so for some of us, we actually become, we're way more skeptical of the wisdom of God and the power of God because it's more normal in our life to not experience it. And so when we see it, we're scared of it. But the invitation of God through Jesus is to walk out in the wisdom and the power of God. That's a great invitation. The wisdom of God that requires an openness in us to the unusual and the surprising. The kind of wisdom that goes way beyond our own human capacity. And here we see in Corinthians that often there's this interplay, this like playing off of the gap between what is human and what is God. Because Paul's keen for us to recognize that there's a difference here. That our human wisdom can only take us so far. It's like later on in the New Testament, it talks about the peace of God, which, what does it say? I love the... You're absolutely right. The peace of God, which passes our understanding. If you're to position yourself to be able to receive the peace that passes, goes beyond your understanding, you're going to have to lay down your understanding as the ceiling for your life. You're going to have to say, I cannot place my own ability to understand as the high point of my life because the peace of God is actually supernatural in its reality, right? It goes beyond your understanding. It wants to come and guard your heart and your mind. That's what the peace of God wants to do. But if your understanding, your human understanding is your ceiling, your limitation, it's hard to break through, isn't it? But what God wants to do is he wants that peace to go through beyond your understanding, which means we have to let go of our understanding being our limitation. Okay. If we were to go to the book of Jeremiah, because what we see in these verses in Corinthians is two moments where two bits of Old Testament are quoted. And the one at the end where it says on verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1, therefore, as it is written, let no the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That is really taken from a passage in Jeremiah chapter 9. And if you were to turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, this is what you would read. This is what the Lord says. This is a declaration of God. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this. Okay? If you're going to boast, boast about this. That they have the understanding to know me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So we have three things. We have wisdom, strength or power, and wealth. Three things that can easily bring definition to a person in the world, right? For some of us, it's wisdom. For some of us, it might be power. For some of us, it might be money. And we're really defined, or there's a hold that these things have in our lives that bring definition to who we are in other people's sight and maybe how we think God sees us as well. And what God is saying here, declaring to his people, the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. He's bringing us back to the heartbeat. And this is what God is always doing. Even in the Old Testament, he's bringing us back to the heartbeat. If you're going to boast, boast in this. That you have the understanding to know me. That you get to know me, is what God is saying. That is your wisdom, your power, and your money are never going to be markers of success in the kingdom of God. Because if you want to put it in that language of success, then what God is saying is that if you want to boast, it's about the fact that you get to know me. I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness. I guess if you've read much of the Bible, you'll understand that the wisdom of God requires an openness to unusual things and surprising things. If you were to just pause for a moment and think of a story, a moment in the Bible, you'd probably remember some. I mean, just shout some out, like shout some moments you've got in your head. Like, what have you got in your head? Stories, moments in the Bible. Elijah up in the mountain in Kings, yeah. Abraham and Isaac, yeah. Any other one? Joseph, yeah. Water into wine. Walking on water. Any others? Samson. Jonah. Yeah, that was unusual. You get the point. If you were to think of all these things that happen in the Bible, these moments, these stories with God, they're full of unusual and surprising things. And yet, when I go back to one of the fears or the concerns that I have about who we are as the bride of Christ in our world today, I sometimes feel like there aren't enough unusual and surprising things. I don't need it anyway. That's not true. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? that the wisdom of God, like in his wisdom, he has chosen to display himself through the word and across the planet in all these different ways, in often very unusual and surprising ways. And I'm sometimes worried that I don't often see him in unusual and surprising ways. And I just would like to, I guess. This God in 1 Corinthians, if we go back to 1 Corinthians, God has made some specific choices, I guess, about the way in which he is going to display himself. In verse 27, it says this, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." It's this invitation to a life that is so, God wants to use us so extravagantly that everyone who looks at the way we live goes, "Well, I know you couldn't do that. Like, I know you. There's no way that that thing could happen on you, by you." That no one may boast. God has made specific choices about the way he's going to reveal himself. And so for you this morning, as you sit there and you might feel like a weak and foolish, nothing kind of a person, I don't know. You might feel like that. If that's the case, you're in a very, very good position for the work of God and the outworking of his kingdom in your life. So don't let that stop you. Because God made specific choices about how he was going to display himself. He was going to use the weak things and the foolish things and the lowly things. And again, we see that littered across the story of God, don't we? Unexpected people being used by God in unusual and surprising ways. And that is an invitation for us again this morning as we relinquish our control and allow ourselves to be led by him. Okay, our second Old Testament moment that is quoted here is found in verse 19. So the beginning of verse of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, our verses for this morning, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us it is, for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written," and here's the quote, this is from Isaiah 29, God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." This is from Isaiah 29. And these verses I quoted a little bit of last week. Jesus quotes the first half of these verses in Matthew 15. And here in 1 Corinthians, we get the second bit that Paul quotes. Here's the full verses that are written in Isaiah 29. The Lord says, verse 13, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish." Now, to set the context of this moment here in Isaiah, what's happening is that the people of Judah are right on the edge of an invasion. Their borders are about to be invaded. And what's happening is that the king and all the kind of important people that surround the king are attempting to solve their problem using human logic and everything that is at their powerful disposal to solve the problem with. That's the context of this moment. They're just trying to solve all the problems. Just get it all sorted, get it all lined up. And let me be clear, what Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians and what is true, I think, of God's character, he's not opposed to intelligence, clearly. God is not opposed to education. He's not opposed to wisdom. What he is opposed to, and I think what Paul is getting at in 1 Corinthians, what he's opposed to is anything that breeds self-sufficiency. Anything that brings you to a place where you think, "I'm okay, it's fine. I can just lean back on myself and everything that I've got." Because the call of God is to greater dependence all the time. And so the context of these verses in Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules, taught that they have been taught. And this is a subject for another day. But the Lord is, I believe, speaking to his church again through that verse. They worship me based on human rules that they have been taught. I believe the Lord is speaking to his church through that verse in this season. I can't talk about that now. But Paul quotes the second half of those verses in 1 Corinthians. And what God is trying to do is he's trying to say to his people, I told you I could do it. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to be self-sufficient. Stop being dependent on yourself, on your abilities, on your wisdom, your power, your money, whatever. This is about a greater dependency. Walking the walk, walking a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way is about going beyond what is our own human capacity. And that's the invitation for us this morning. So I wonder, what things might be trying to invade your life right now? If you go back to Isaiah 29, the people of God on the edge of an invasion, they're trying to solve all their problems with human wisdom, logic, and all the rest of it. I wonder if you were to just do a quick analysis and go, what are the things that are trying to invade my life right now? And how am I trying to just solve all those things with all the human stuff? And where might I be able to invite God in with his wisdom and his voice? Because the key in those verses in Isaiah 29 is the fact that the people's hearts are far away from God. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. And so just in Jeremiah, where the marker of success is our ability to understand, to get to know him, we get to know him, just as in here, the invitation is to have our hearts drawn closer to his heart. Towards greater dependency. I believe that there's a call on the bride to look distinctive, to be different. And in order for that to happen, we have to go beyond just ourselves. I'm nearly done. In fact, I'm going to be done. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to come back and we're going to try and unpack more of what it is to be walking in the power of God. Okay? Because there's this really interesting interplay in the New Testament between wisdom and power, and God's wisdom and God's power. And so we're going to talk about that again in 2 weeks' time. But for now, I want us just to pause for two minutes, okay? And just invite God just to come and say whatever it is that he would like to say to you. If that is not normal to you, that's fine. You can just try it out if you'd like, or not do that at all. That's absolutely fine. And then we're just going to move with God in whatever way he would like to this morning, and hopefully pray for some people who need some prayer, or who would like some prayer this morning. So let's just pause for a moment.